Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mike and Scott. All right, field trip. Let's take a visit to a quiet oasis just north of I-95 and the Philadelphia Airport, the John Hines National Wildlife Refuge. Acres of open water fed by Darby Creek and the Delaware River are surrounded by marshes of cattails and wild rice. This time of year, a golden flower called Biden's is in bloom. It's a tranquil setting, but it's part of an ecosystem that's long faced threats, first from human development and now brought on by sea level rise. Carolyn Beeler looked into the history of the Tinicum Marsh and efforts to understand just how long it will survive.
Back before settlers arrived in our region, wetlands covered much of South Philadelphia and Wilmington and stretched north to Trenton along waterways. A U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service video traces the history of Tinicum Marsh.
In the 1640s, farmers from Sweden began to settle around Tinicum. They diked and drained the marshes to create grazing land for their livestock.
As Philadelphia became more urban, coal ash and trash from the growing city was dumped into marshes, raising the elevation so houses, businesses, stadiums, and the airport could be built.
As the centuries passed, the growth of Philadelphia gradually buried the marshes. By the 1950s, Pennsylvania's 6,000 acres of freshwater tidal marsh had shrunk to only 1,550.
This is a narrative that's mirrored nationwide. Since the 1600s, the Environmental Protection Agency says wetlands have shrunk by more than half in the lower 48 states, a loss the size of California.
Wetlands were historically regarded as wastelands of no value.
That's Partnership for the Delaware Estuary Science Director Danielle Krieger. She says during the environmental movement in the 1970s, attitudes toward wetlands began to shift.
People started to understand, well, not only are they important, but they might be the most important habitat type that we have.
The most important because they absorb water during high tides and storms to prevent flooding, and they filter and trap pollution and litter before it can flow downstream. Today, though we're more aware of their importance, wetlands face a threat that's harder to control than development: sea level rise. Delaware officials project up to 99% of their coastal wetlands will disappear by the end of this century. A Partnership for the Delaware Estuary report from 4 years ago puts the number estuary-wide at 25%. But Danielle Krieger says newer data is pushing estimates much higher.
Today we're at John Hines National Wildlife Refuge at the Tinicum Marsh, downstream from Darby Creek.
That's Academy of Natural Sciences wetland researcher Kirk Raper, who's on a boat in the middle of the marsh.
And we're looking at the effects of sea level rise on the marsh here.
Marshes grow in elevation by trapping sediment and producing plants that die off and add biomass to the marsh floor. Raper and his colleague Michael Archer are studying whether this particular marsh will be able to grow fast enough to stay above sea level rise.
We're going to go measure the changes of elevation of the marsh surface over time, as well as accretion rates, which is like sediment deposition.
We motor along what feels like a big pond, with the Philadelphia skyline peeking over the trees in the distance.
You can see the city of Philadelphia right over there.
We turn left where a small stream branches off. Raper ramps the boat up onto land, and we get off and start trekking.
So we are pushing our way through marsh grasses and reeds.
Okay, you see styrofoam cups and plastic bottles, basketball toys from kids.
We've reached the first of three test plots in the Tinicum Marsh where there's a metal pole submerged deep into the muck.
The middle bar is going down like 30 to 50 feet below the surface until it reached hard, stable substrate.
Raper uses that stable landmark to measure the elevation of the marsh.
And that will show you the elevation currently, and then we can compare that to how it was before and see whether it's grown or it's sunk over time.
A few meters away, Michael Archer is kneeling in the mud with a silver kitchen knife, cutting a plug of soil in an area where a layer of white powdered feldspar mineral was laid out 4 years ago.
So ideally, it would be less mucky.
He pulls up a clump of mud and looks for a white line.
I'll find it on approximately three sides if I can, and then just measure from the top of the white.
Archer measures about an inch from that white line. That's soil that's built up in the past 3.5 years. But because sediment accumulation varies from spot to spot and season to season, and it's a slow process, it's too soon to say whether Tinicum is keeping up with sea level rise. Raper says 3 of the 10 sites they visit as part of this monitoring project have had significant sediment accumulation.
Things like that.
But later, back on the boat, he tells me another wetland, closer to the coast, appears to be sinking.
It used to be a marsh, but now it's sunk below the waterline, and there's just like these giant pools all around our research area that the vegetation no longer grows there. And then at Dennis Creek, which is in southern New Jersey on the Delaware Bay, there's this white forest because all the trees are dead where the salt water has worked its way up the marsh.
The data collected during this Mid-Atlantic Wetland Monitoring Program will help policymakers set preservation priorities for wetlands. But ecologist Danielle Krieger says with wetlands being lost here at almost an acre a day, the conservation tools in her toolbox will only go so far.
The sad fact is we are going to lose many, many more marshes than we can possibly try to stem the loss of. And so we also need to make decisions about where we're going to invest to try to stem those losses.
For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.